Shit. God damn it. All right, well, whatever. I didn't have a catchphrase or line from a movie ready. So you're just gonna get it the way it is. Hi everybody, it's the Pharaoh Wizards.
Shit,
I'm
goddamn.
helping. Shit. I just wanna swear at the beginning of everyone so that way we, you know, anybody who listens their shit out loud at work gets what they deserve. But anyway, Fair Wizards, Alvin, Dr. Feel Average, that's me.
Yeah, mic too long farts. Fuck, 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 fuck. If you still got
We're
the volume on.
cutting that listener number down. Too many of y'all. Anyway, we play Nintendo 64 games, so you don't have to. This week we are hitting one of the tentpole franchises of a brand that isn't a manufacturer. It's Mega Man 64, a Capcom game. Yeah. It's not
That's
the
what it
kind of
is.
Mega Man game you would expect, that's for sure, if you didn't know, like I did, what you're getting into. But Mike, what can you tell us about Mega Man 64?
I mean, you laid down the important bits. It's developed by Capcom and published by Capcom, and there are Capcom sub companies that worked on it, but it's Capcom. January 10th, 2001. First released as Mega Man Legends on the PlayStation. This one came a little bit later and they rebranded as Mega Man 64 for no apparent reason. There was a second Mega Man Legends on the PlayStation and a third one, which was canceled. But it did spawn the Misadventures of Tron Bonne, which is one of the antagonists from this game, which is an incredibly expensive PlayStation game. I recognized that before I realized where it came from. I didn't know Tron Bonne came from this specific run of games, but I know that Tron Bonne's a $200 loose PlayStation game. So there's my
Ouch.
knowledge compared to my knowledge of actual games I own, because I definitely don't own that.
It's a PlayStation game. Man, $200
Yeah.
for a PlayStation game? I didn't know any of them got that expensive. Like, aside
Yeah.
from, like, I didn't open this Final Fantasy VII black case.
Which has now dropped. Remember when that was really expensive for a little while
Yeah.
last year? It's back down to like $35 now. So if you really want to own it again, now is
Well,
the time.
it's available like digitally in so many different like platforms now
Yep.
that honestly, if you really felt like the only people who are buying like the unopened cases and shit now are like people that are just looking to flip them. That's it. Like there are no more hidden in the wild. We found them all. They're all on eBay right now.
And then there's like a subsect of those people who are only buying sealed ones because they're sending them all the way to WADA to be graded so nobody can ever play them again. And those people will all be put up against the wall at some point when we take over and judge people for their video game choices over the years. So.
Yeah, we're gonna grade everybody with
Yes.
bullets
Yep,
after
you go. People
the
who grade games go to the retro gulag.
revolution. Ah, shit. All right, it's been a while. It's been a week here. We took a week off because I didn't get a chance to play the game and you're in the middle of a move, so let's actually talk about this video game that we're reviewing. As always, it's a five category scale we grade on. It's gameplay, story, replay value, aesthetics, and value. And as always, we start with the gameplay. I gave the gameplay of this one a 10 out of 20.
That's also what I gave it, a 10 out of 20. So 50%, right in the middle, average.
I kind of expected it to be what it is, and it's a 3D, kind of third person shooter. If you really want to just break it down to its essence, that's what it is. The controls are decent. It's just everything really feels kind of sluggish at times. Like Mega Man moves pretty quick. Like he moves fast, and the strafing and stuff is good. But I always feel like when I'm trying to turn and stuff, there's like this huge input lag. So it's like there's momentum, but there's not momentum, if that makes any sense. Just because I feel like, you got to kind of anticipate your movements. And since, you can't adjust sensitivity like you can on like, modern games and controllers, you just got to kind of live with it. So when it comes to like navigating like tight corridors and stuff like that, this game can get a little stupid, and that honestly hurt my experience because you play way too many narrow corridors in this game. But traditional Mega Man is a side scroller. This is a 3D, I guess you could call it a platformer, though there's not a ton of jumping and stuff like that. I don't know, it's a 3D shoot, third person shooter. That's what I qualify it as. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's like Rugrats the movie if you are allowed to jump.
It's got a weird control thing too, where like the Z button strafes left, but so does the left shoulder button. And I don't know why they don't default to just the left shoulder button and make the Z button do something else. Like, I don't know, maybe you could have had the lock on feature literally just be the Z button instead of pushing Z plus R. Like, that's a weird choice in my opinion. There's just some weird control decisions that they made that don't make a lot of sense to me, because it's not like they was a, for a lack of buttons or anything like that. But the B button shoots your oh, what do they call that thing? The blaster. What is it actually called? Buster? No, I
No,
forgot what they call. I
it's the
forgot
blaster. It's a Mega Man blaster, isn't it?
what. It's got its own name. It's got its own name. It's gonna drive me nuts. I'll remember it later, maybe in the episode. But yeah, anyway. The B button shoots, A button jumps, so that's not bad. It's just weird. It's weird having a Nintendo 64 game where Z is not the shoot button. That's what I'm getting at here. They should have just made it Z. But no, Z is also the kind of lock on and strafe button sometimes.
That's all.
That's all I gotta say.
This game, what this game reminded me of, like control wise, is like the original 3D shooter like this, Grand Theft Auto 3, where they didn't quite have the formula down yet, and it felt like your arms and your torso were separate, like your upper body movement and your lower body movement were one in the same, like you still had to move your character as one, but the controls for the shooting weren't quite there yet for Grand Theft. And like you said, there was no momentum, so you could like run and jump and just stop, or spin around real fast and get hit by a car and just stop. And like everything was very abrupt. The lock on for shooting wasn't quite perfect yet. They didn't have their shit together, and that's what this feels like to me. Like it was a game that where they probably had the right premise in their head. They had all the controls and enough buttons and system power there to make the game, and then they just like failed to execute, I guess. Like it didn't come through.
Yeah, like maybe a failing to the game engine, not quite doing what it should have done. You know what this game done well is Nier Automata. That game is this game done like near perfectly. So if you played the new Nier game, that's what Mega Man aspires to be. 'Cause you don't like although there's more melee in Nier as well, but there's some melee in Mega Man, but that's not the case. But anyway, that's kind of how this game like handles. It handles a lot like Nier, where the locking on to enemies and the firing is just automatic, and then you're just kind of strafing around things and dodging. And that is a lot of what you do is you're gonna strafe and you're gonna dodge, and that's the combat of this game. There's not much else to it.
Yeah, there's nothing technically wrong with the game, I guess, like with the way the game plays. Like it's all okay. Like there's no glaring problem with it. But as somebody who hasn't played a Mega Man game for this long since Mega Man 2, not only was it not what I expected, I knew what it looked like. Like so I knew it wasn't going to be Mega Man 2, but it still didn't play like I expected either. So not only was it not like great, It wasn't what I expected. So then it put me in a really weird headspace. I think this is it's like a not fun Jet Force Gemini, which is a game we will review down the road. Like, there's nothing like hectic about it at all. Like, rooms have like one or two enemies in them. And like there's never a point where you're like under a huge amount of duress, minus apparently a couple boss. So I didn't, okay, let's pull back the curtain a little bit. I didn't beat every boss in this game in our 1.5 week review of it. Like,
oh,
this
yeah,
game is long enough. Yeah, long enough, but I ended up watching all the boss battles, and there's some larger hectic things compared to the two bosses that I fought. But like most things, it's run down a corridor. Like, there's overworld and underworld. You run down the corridor, there's one enemy who you can just single button strafe. It's one attack, and then you just blast it till it's dead. Sometimes it blocks. You know, sometimes it's got some sort of armor or a different pattern. But a lot of time, it's you dodge maybe two attacks total, and the thing is dead. And when you have a bunch of rooms that do that same kind of thing, like, that's the opposite of original Mega Man. Like, the original Mega Man was jumping and shooting at the same time and, like, back shooting, like, jumping backwards through a level to dodge an enemy attack and then, you know, sprinting through and really precise jumping, and this didn't have any of that. So I know we both gave it a 10. I'm pretty certain this is the first. I always feel like I have to, like, 10 is the middle. And I always have to give it, like, I give a lot of 11s and 9s, like a lot of, like, slightly above average in my head and slightly below average in my head. And this is the only one where, like, I was so wishy-washy playing this thing where I'm like, I don't know, 10, I guess, like 10 in the middle. I don't know, man.
You know, here's how it was for me, because I had this, my initial score that I had in my head was much higher than, well, not much higher, but it was higher than the 10. And then I was playing it, and I'm like, this game is fun when it's a big open area, but when you get into any sort of, like I said, narrow corridor or anything like that, it turns into, like, it's just a slog. It's not as fun. I would have liked to see more of a, like, a physics engine, Mario, like the Mario game for 64, where, you know, there was momentum when you were running and stuff like that, and you know, honestly, I would have wished it would have just been a side-scrolling Mega Man game, because then I would have known what I was getting into, but it's not that. Also, I want to point out the AI is fucking terrible on everything. Like, mm-hmm. They're all dumb. Every enemy is dumb. Like, there were some enemies that I'd, like, walk into a room and it never bothered to, like, move while I just shot it to death. And I'm just kind of like, okay, I guess that was a thing. Also, and this is something that, like, I instantly got frustrated with, because your controls are not that precise and they do not give you a lot of time to pick up the shit that the enemies drop. I missed out on so much fucking, like, the crystal thingies. I don't remember what they're called. The currency money things and health things, just because I couldn't get in the perfect, like, position to, like, walk over it. And then I was just seeing it flash. I'm like, no, 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 no. And then it was gone.
Yeah, those refractors, the quantum refractors, yes. Or the refractor shards. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's the
exact same thing. Yeah.
It was so fucking frustrating. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to need these eventually at some point, but it's really pissing me off that I can't get them. And then, like I said, the health thing was also an equally frustrating thing, because, you know, this is kind of a, it's not like a, you know, a level based thing where you walk in with a fresh health thing. You have like a constant health bar that's always, you know, needing to be kept full between whatever you're doing. Like, you'll run into a dungeon, go back to whatever city, and yeah, I don't know. It's definitely not what I expected out of a Mega Man game. I'll put it that way.
And the thing you said about collecting shit, that led to the main frustration for me. So after playing for about 4 hours, I jumped through, and I always do this if there's multiple saves on an old cartridge. Like, I jumped through some of the other save files to see what later in the game was like with leveled up characters. You have to, so there's like Metroidvania style collection in this game. Like you said, you have to collect that stuff so you can level up your gun, and then you get like a drill arm so you can blow through a rock wall. But the only way you can change those motherfucking special weapons is to go all the way back up to the overworld and talk to Roll Casket or the other casket, Barrel Casket. I don't remember which one. One of those two casket, your buddies, the casket family. But that's the only way to change your arm. Even though you can see it in the menu and you can select them to see how powerful they are or the things they do, you can't fucking change them. You have to go all the way back up to the overworld to change the shit. Like, so, like, I got down to, like, level 4 of the under, and I found a thing. I'm like, oh, I know what I need for this. I need this arm, and I go and click it. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, what do you mean I can't? And this is, I had skipped ahead on a different save file, so I didn't know what the fuck it was. I hadn't done that for myself yet. And I'm like sitting here Googling how to change your special blaster, and you can't. You can't fucking do it. Like, that's, that's, like, the biggest oversight. That was the big thing for Mega Man. So, like, if you're speedrunning Mega Man 2, you flip between all of, you know, you'll flip between the platform power that you get from that wind guy or whatever, and then you, like, use the leaf to beat the, like, you know, you need everything to traverse the later levels and beat, and you can't, like, imagine if you couldn't change, like, if you had to just pick one before the fucking level, like, that. Incredibly frustrating. Really stupid choices in this pretty good game. So
yeah it was they leaned a little bit too heavy into the RPG part of the game, and it's like, I don't need realism here. I don't need that. I just need you to give me the thing I need on my body right now that I'm carrying with me.
And speaking of that, put the fucking helmet back on while you're at it. I definitely don't need human face realism.
That was weird too, but we'll get into that later. Let's move on to the next category, which is the story. It's weird we talk so much about gameplay because story's where this fucking game is at. Because, like I said, it's a Mega Man RPG, so I gave the story of this one an 18 out of 20.
I'm right there with you. 17 out of 20 for me, so 87.5%.
Now, there's a lot. Mega Man as a franchise, I mean, given the fact that this game is literally a side-scrolling platformer, at its core, has a fucking ton of canon behind it. And this game has its own fucking self-contained giant story. Do you want to do your thing and sum this shit up?
I'm going to actually skip the entire story of this specific game and just give you the canon, like some of the like bullet points of the canon of the Legends series instead. So, because if you just try to do just this game, we're going to be here for like 25 minutes just reading the story, and I ain't doing that. So, So essentially, the Legend series takes place on like a water world kind of scenario where there's a bunch of fucking flooding and only resources exist. So because of the increasing need for demand or the demand for energy, they start finding those quantum refractors that we were talking about down in ruins. So that becomes currency. All the other currency goes away. The main goal of every person is to find like the mother load. So now we're dipping into like Borderlands style stuff because there's a vault that's got the mother load of refractors, but nobody can find it. It's supposed to have infinite power and it'll fill everybody's need for energy in one swoop. And the people who are trying to find it is called Diggers. The protagonist is Mega Man Volnut. So they gave Mega Man the name in this game, Volnut. And he's a digger. And he's living in a spaceship called the Flutter with his casket friends that we were talking about. And then there's bad guys, the Bond family. So it's Teasel Bond, who's the leader of group Tron Bond, who builds all the robots and stuff and then gets her own spinoff games and has elaborate schemes. And then they, and then Bon Bon, which is some sort of robot thing that just screams Babu all the time. I don't really know what the point of that thing is. Anyway, accompanied by the Servbots, which are a lot of those robots that you fight down in the caves. They try to get to the mother load, and they are your main problem through all of the Legend series. So this game specifically is just mining this one, you know, level of that Catalogs Island thing that you're on the whole time, and the story of that one specific island. But there's a lot of it. That part is pretty much explained in, which is cool because it's explained, it's like voice read to you at the beginning of the game. Not that specific stuff, but all the stuff for this is, and we get like all sorts of reading. NPCs have voices on this game. Like you said, there's an overworld and an underworld with different like themes and stuff. And it's, I mean, this is a good story.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot going on here. It was, like I said, it was surprising to me the amount of detail and like dialogue and the fact that people talk. Like, there's more dialogue in this game than probably the entirety of the like whole Zelda series. It's like I said, in the beginning, when I first started the game up, like they're reading off the narration of like the overarching, like, this is the world, blah blah blah, and I'm like, it just kept going and going and going, and I'm like, this isn't fucking Mega Man. What is this? But yeah, no, I mean, the plot's water world, but for a game that is water world, most of it's underground. So yeah, I don't know. It's just, it is
I
what
mean,
it
it
is, I
does.
guess.
I didn't say I was going to do the whole story, but there is like some Prometheus level, like third level, like twist shit in this game too. Like you end up meeting like a crazy like political alien, from like outer space, Juno or something like that, who like is like wipes Mega Man's memory, and that's like apparently the whole thing of the game, and stops people. Like Mega Man keeps going back and forth to get this like same. Anyway, and there's just all sorts of layers that they did not need to add to this game. Like, dude, just say that there's a bad guy and they're searching for the shit, and you're also searching for the shit as a good guy. Not a Tom Cruise movie where he lives the same 8 minutes over and over again, or what the fuck ever. Like this game took like every like sci-fi storyline from the last 20 years and jammed it into a Mega Man game, which already had enough lore to do its own shit for the last 15 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I said, I was not expecting to have such a story heavy game. But hey, you know, and it's a rarity in Nintendo 64 era to have a story. So this one had a lot. So if that's what you're looking for a deep fucking story. And you know, another cool thing too is, like I said, the dialogue and shit, it's not all superficial. Like, I mean, there's some like, even the NPCs and stuff like that, like they have like personality. It's weird, like, you know, how much when they went into detail on just like frivolous shit was wild to me. I was not expected at all. So it's this is a game that I guess it rewards you somewhat for exploring, because of how much there actually is to, you know, learn, and how much plot there is to drive on this one. So
Yeah, like what you said about like Zelda, this game has easily as much NPC like interaction as Ocarina did, like
oh yeah.
easily as much. I mean, and I didn't even play. I only have to play the whole game to know that. I played all of Ocarina. I haven't played
Yeah.
all of this, and you can just by the amount that you do in the first 3 hours of the game, it's like, all right, well, fuck it. I guess I'm either playing this forever or I'm never putting it back in again. So
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a quick game. Do you have speed run times on this one? Just curious. We'll pop it
I
out now.
do. I do.
What
You want me to put it in
what's
now?
do it now, do it now, because the speed run is all based off story, so.
It's 41 minutes 30 seconds by Arlen. And
Ooh.
once again, the fastest speed runs are on the N64 over the PlayStation and PC versions. So.
See, I mean, right there, the fact that a speed run is 41 minutes, that's, I mean, there are like Fallout times that cut that in half. So put that into perspective. Consider how much game there is to Fallout. Fallout 3 in this game is like takes double that amount of time to beat it.
If you're playing as absolute fast as you can.
Right, if you're skipping literally everything, yeah. No, it's a big game. All right, well, let's hit up a break, because we had a lot of talky words in this one, and we'll hit the rest of the review after this.
Shit, fuck.
Fighting robot, Mega Man.
So
with
next
more skin. Ass.
Oh, shit, fuck. Boobs. I don't know. All right.
Yeah.
next category is replay value. And I gave the replay value of this game a 6 out of 20.
So did I. 6 out of 20. 30%.
Did we mention this is a long game? It's a long game. There's a lot to do. Once you do it, probably not going to need to do it a lot again. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think there's like a new game plus. I don't think there's... There's no multiplayer, right? No, there's no multiplayer.
Nope, no multiplayer, nope.
And so, yeah, I mean, this is a experience this story and look at the sequels, I guess. I don't know. But I personally almost gave it lower, but I'm like, yeah, I guess maybe in like once every couple years you could justify going through this one again if you really liked it. But I'm not that big a Mega Man fan, and it's not that fun of a game to draw me back in. But it's not unplayable, so it's a 6. That's where it goes.
Yeah, this feels like a game that maybe we should just throw it at the other Pharaoh Wizard, Justin, and let him play it for a year. And then we'll come back and get his review of it, because this is more up his alley. I'm not investing 40 hours into this game. It's just not doing it. Like, I'm not like, it's such a cool overworld environment with such a bland underground sub world with really, you know, meh core mechanics. And I just don't want, I don't, I'm not, I just want to do it. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, there's like all sorts of things you can search out and discover, but I'm pretty sure you could probably do it all on your first pass if you, you know, had a guide or whatever. There's not a lot of incentive to go back and revisit it after you beat it. So yeah, for me, I think this is a pretty much one and done type of game, but there's a lot of it, so maybe people will find some value in that. For me, not so much. 6 is the number I gave it. It could even be lower, but I'm not playing it a second time. I have no intention.
If it was just more fun. If it was more fun,
yeah.
Because there's lots of single player games that are fun. It just wasn't as much fun.
Yeah. And there's not enough customizability in the game to make it like to justify you. Like, you don't play through different ways. There's, you know, that's kind of what makes like these big epic scrolling RPGs fun. Is that you can do it one way and then you could play it through again another way and that type of thing. And this doesn't have that. I mean, you have one character, you have like one weapon that can get all of the different add-ons to that one specific weapon. And that's it. That's your game. So there's not a lot of reason to play through multiple times. And this is coming from a person that has literally over 150 days logged on, like, Final Fantasy 14. So, I'm telling you, you don't need to play this one multiple times.
I've heard good things about that game and it being free and the first couple expansions being available also for free. I don't know where I heard that.
It does have a free trial. Yeah. That is a very Final Fantasy 14 specific meme that is very popular on Twitter because they advertise it a lot.
I've also heard some of the musical stylings from that game, and I am impressed.
Soken is a musical genius.
But so maybe, that perfect perfect transition into the aesthetics category then.
Yes.
And the musics of aesthetics. This game.
Aesthetics of Mega Man. I gave it a generous 16 out of 20.
Exceedingly generous. I gave it a 9 out of 20, so 62.5%.
You know, this game, the fact like that it's voice acted is a huge plus for me. The characters and stuff like that, like they have It's very anime bullshit. Let's put it that way. Like this, like Mega Man's facial expressions and stuff like that. They've gone through the trouble of like, you know, giving you cutscenes that's fully animated and shit. So It stylistically, I mean, the overworld, like you mentioned, is way more impressive than the underground shit because you're underground, so who the fuck cares? But there's just so much detail in this game, and Nintendo 64 is what it is, but it holds up fairly well. The frame rate's not great, but it doesn't bog down too much, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact they keep your enemy load very, very low. So you're not overwhelmed by just the constant shit on the screen, and it doesn't tax the system at all. But overall, it's still a very playable game on a visual standpoint. There's a lot of different, music to it. I wouldn't call it so much iconic. I don't know, but there are some good songs in there. Nothing, no bangers like Donkey Kong. But for me, I don't know. I think this game was just really well put together in that regard.
It's yin and yang for me because, like you said, all the good stuff that you just mentioned all happens in the overworld. Like, it's
True.
vibrant and it's alive. There's ambient noise even, and it's like peaceful. Like, it's pleasant to traverse the overworld. And the second you step into the caves, you're in like a Minecraft rock filing cabinet with one thing to do, and that is kill the enemy in front of you and open the door and collect the fucking shards, and you do that for hours, and then you go back and you're like, oh, look at this fucking game, I love being up here, and they're like, yeah, that's cool, switch your fucking gun and get your ass back down there, and then you go and then that's it. You spend like 75% of the game playing the least pretty, the least pleasant sounding part. You spend it all in the worst part of the game. Like,
You're not wrong. That definitely happens. I don't know. I just think that the amount of detail they give you on the role playing parts of it make up for the shortcomings in the game part of it. 'Cause yeah, your combat's all done in the fucking ugly spots. But you know what though? It's a clever programming trick if you know your fucking game can't handle or your system can't handle too much shit. Make all the combat in the really simple fucking bland backdrop and then have all the non-combat be in the fun detailed parts of the game. So, I don't know. Like I said, I thought this game it looks well enough. And I will say, under the underground or whatever, as dull as it is, it's not like, oh, what's a game? Let's just say it's not like fucking Doom or like Hexen, where you go and everything looks the fucking same and you're lost. You get a fucking map and you can find your way through and things look different enough that you can kind of tell where you are and they don't overwhelm you with like these huge like what do you call them, like labyrinths where you're just staring at empty corridors all the time. I felt this game keeps it moving well enough that it didn't bother me. Not like some of the other games we've played.
Fine.
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 I'll
I don't
take it.
argue. I won't
I'll take
argue.
fine. I don't know. Like I said, I just thought, like I said, the good outweighs the bad on this one. It's not quite up to. I kind of compare this one a lot to a DK64, and it doesn't have the character of that. It doesn't have all the real iconic catchiness to that, but everything else, I think it's serviceable. I'm fine with it.
It reminded me, I was somewhere between, I mentioned Jet Force Gemini before, but it's like halfway between that and Body Harvest, which I don't know how much Body Harvest you played, but I played a lot of that. It's like a less fun Body Harvest that doesn't look as vibrant as Jet Force Gemini, but it's like they put way more money into this game than they did both those games, so you can feel it. Like, you feel that there's a really nicely orchestrated score in there, and you feel that they went through the process to make a nice engine to play this game, and then they only used it 25% of the time, so.
Yeah, I mean, you're not fucking wrong. I don't know. I just thought it was like I said, the positives outweigh the negatives on this one, and considering we've looked at some fucking ugly ass Nintendo 64 games, this one was a treat.
That's true. All right, but I'm not giving it more points. So
no, whatever. Well, yeah, that's all. You locked it in. I mean, you did the math. It's done.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But I'm glad I convinced you. Next. what are we doing next? Are we in the last category already? Value?
Yeah.
We're on value? Yeah. All right. This game is fucking price charting at goddamn $60 fucking dollars. So fuck you. I gave it a 3.
I gave it a 4, but it was $70.60 when I played it.
Oh, shit. Well, it's coming down in price. Fuck yeah.
Well, hot damn.
Yeah, Mega Man Legends is $40 loose. So, you know, figure that out. The Rockman Dash, I think, is that the Japanese version of this, or is that a different game? Rockman Dash or whatever is $10. So if you speak Japanese, there's your ticket. Buy it that way. If you don't, well, I don't know. I mean, play it on Nintendo 64. Just play it on 64. It's a 3D shooter game. You should be playing it on 64. Don't buy this on PlayStation. Spend the money, or don't. Don't spend the money. It's expensive.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
This is always the part where I say like something stupid like, well, but it's the only way to play Mega Man on this system. So as a collector, you know, but I mean, man, this is like Conquer all over again. It's too expensive for a platforming adventure game or whatever this is, and Conquer is even more of a game than this is in my eyes, and that's saying a lot. Because
really,
oh, I think so. I think Conquer is probably more of a game. At least Conquer doesn't change. Like once again with that 75-25 split. At least Conquer is always doing something, and there's always enemies on the screen, and there's always stuff happening. Where in this game, there's such long stretches of just walking where you're not doing anything.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
But still, I wouldn't spend the money on either of them, but I did. And here we are. So, 17.5%.
Conquer got a 0 for me because you can play Conquer in a cheaper fashion. This game, there's not a whole lot of cheaper ways you can play this game. So, you're stuck with the 64, the PlayStation version. They're both too much money. God, if you really like Mega Man, I guess this is a must-have, but if you don't, I'd say pass.
Yeah, like I said, I'm literally going to let Justin, or actually he's got an EverDrive now because he's, you know, because that's what he does. So he'll now I'm going to make him play it. He has to play this and come back with a review.
He's going to have to write the book on Mega Man Legends. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, I gave it a 46. Okay. You gave it a 53.
All right.
So we gave it a 49.5, putting it literally dead center in our game so far. It is slightly better than Arrow Fighters Assault at 48.5 and slightly worse than Winback at 51.
So. Well, that's fair. Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Although, man, thinking back to Arrow Fighters Assault, I don't know. We went too high on Arrow Fighters Assault. I remember that game being fucking trash.
Really? I think I'd rather play that.
Really?
I think I would rather, if you gave me both these games, Mega Man and Arrow Fighters right now, put them in front of me and told me that I had to play one right now, I'd probably put Arrow Fighters in.
Yeah, but you just got done playing like 4 hours of Mega Man, so you just want something new.
I just want something, I like simple games. Like, I don't like, I like.
Are you Quest 64 guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quest 64 is a different, that's like after I've been eating pretzels all week and I get a piece of cheesecake. Like, I get that it's complex flavors and stuff, but like, I'm still going to eat it real fast. So that's still Quest 64 is not a simple game, but it's simple for me to enjoy in small bursts. I cannot enjoy this game in small bursts because where would you leave off? Like, where would you stop and go? Like, you can't remember if you're in a corridor. If you're not in the overworld, if you're just in the middle of some fucking corridor and you went back into this, you don't have any fucking clue where you are. You have zero, even with a mini map, you have no idea where you are. Like, there's no drop in and out on this. Anyway.
Yeah.
Metacritic was a 59, so we're a little lower. Metacritic, IGN 4.5, GameSpot 5.3. But I got a little extra on this one. So 1UP in 2007 wrote an article saying that this is a gem, and it's worth it to play it, and everybody should go back to play it. Conversely, Screw Attack, which is another retro game site, said it was one of the 10 worst 2D to 3D transformer or transformed platformer games of all time.
I mean, first of all, I don't know how many of those there are. Second of all, I mean,
well,
it's not
like
Mega
Donkey
Man.
Kong,
and if
Donkey
really...
Kong and Mario, there's lots of 2D to 3D transformation platforms.
Yeah, but if you're really worried about fucking Mega Man, you know, I feel like I would not get along with the Mega Man fandom. And something tells me if you're a retro game site, you fucking love Mega Man just because of the nature of who you are as a person. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't.
I just say there's a lot of, this is a very controversial. So obviously, as you can see, even with Metacritic, it didn't score incredibly high, even though most Mega Man games score incredibly high, including Tronbon, which I don't know why people like that game, but I mean, they do. So
we're not giving it huge recommendations at this price point, but no. I mean, looking at the price charting thing today, there were some listings on like Amazon for like $40, $45. I don't know how legit they are. I don't know the condition, but you could probably get it for cheaper than the $60 price charting price, but wait till it comes down. Pick this one up at like $25, $30 maybe. That's my prediction for the floor on this one. That's about where I see it going.
Well, that's where it was every year before 2020. So,
yeah, I could see it coming back down there. I don't think there's a bunch of people clamoring for this game to be redone or whatever. There was that what was that Kickstarter fucking game that was kind of like Mega Man? Like they were kind of pimping themselves out as a Mega Man style, like something 9. It had a number in the title. I don't remember what it was. But that's about as close as we've gotten to somebody like really wanting more Mega Man than they already give us, because they keep pumping out Mega Man. So it's not like this franchise has gone the way of Metroid, where you never hear about it.
Yeah, it kind of took a dip for a little while, but then they crashed 11 into us and like, hey, here's another hard fucking Mega Man game. And everybody's like, yeah, that's what we wanted.
I mean, they'll keep pumping out those side scrollers as long as people keep playing them. So you're not gonna miss out on any Mega Man anytime soon. And there are so many Mega Mans out there that I don't know, I wouldn't put this one high up on the priority list. This one doesn't crack my top 10, and I haven't even played 10.
This one's in the non-existent bottom half of your Mega Man library in your head.
Yeah. Yeah, I would play a lot more of the side scrollers before I played this one. Again.
Okay. All right.
Put it that way. Sweet. Well.
I don't know. And yeah. the next game is number 259.
259? Oh, what's 259?
NHL Breakaway 98 featuring Ooh. Keith Tkachuk.
That's really weird that we're getting two fucking hockey games. Didn't we? Oh, we deliberately picked a hockey game, didn't we? Like the first hockey game we played because it was start of hockey season?
Nope.
No? That was a jar game?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
That was, I don't even remember which game that was. NHL. I don't even remember what that one was called. It might have just been NHL. It wasn't the Breakaways. Is the let me pull another thing here. The Acclaim games, and the other one was an EA game. So.
Oh, okay. Well, peculiar timing. Then next week when we play NHL, we'll be in the second round of playoffs, probably. I think. Which wouldn't be the championship. I don't know. The playoff system's a little different this year because the season's a little different this year. But yeah. I'm going to say, what year was it?
99? 98. So that means it was out in 97, probably? I don't know.
So we'll get the expansion teams. We should have the full the full minus Seattle and Vegas rosters.
Yes.
Florida and Nashville will be there.
Yes.
Sweet. All right. Nice. Well, hockey next week, but this episode looks like it's my power trip. All right. Power trip means 30 seconds for the higher reviewer to talk about whatever they want. And this week it's me. So do we have a sponsor this week, Michael?
Always, sir. Always we have a sponsor. Clamoring for people to get on our show.
Right?
Yeah. It's Cardboard Boxes are the sponsor this week.
Ah.
Cardboard Boxes just want you to know that they do exist. And when you do not want them around, they are free and they are everywhere. Environment. But when you do want them, nobody has them. And you have to go to a store and pay for cardboard boxes. Or a store will tell you that they have cardboard boxes for you. And then you will get to that store and they will say, we don't save cardboard boxes. I don't know who you talk to. And then they're like, we destroy those every day. I don't know who you called. And then once you finally acquire cardboard boxes, they are impossible to get rid of. And you can't fit them all in your recycling bin. So cardboard boxes are probably the currency of the future. So save them.
Yeah. Forget dollars, forget gold, forget crypto. It's cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
Cardboard is forever.
I literally had that fight on the phone. It's so fucking irritating.
No, I know exactly what you mean because I worked at retail before. And like, no, we don't save boxes. But if you come here and we have boxes, you can have the boxes we haven't crushed.
But I had the exact. I also worked retail for a bazillion years, and I called, so I knew to call specifically the produce department, and skip the front desk, and I'm like, hey man, I'm like, hey man, do you got some apple and banana boxes? He's like, yeah, we got a whole pile of apple boxes. I'm like, all right, cool. My wife will be there at 1:30, and this was at noon. I'm like, she'll be there at 1:30. She'll take everything that you got. He's like, cool. I'll write her name on them. We'll put them aside right here and have them on the cart. She gets there an hour later. She gets there early. And she goes up to the service desk. She's like, hi, my name is – I don't know, should I be saying my wife's name on podcast? I don't know.
Nah. We'll leave it.
Doesn't matter. But
So your wife, Cindy Crawford, went up and was like
– So Cindy Crawford's like, hey, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm here to pick up some cardboard boxes. And the service desk person's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. We don't save cardboard boxes. She's like, hey, my husband called and specifically talked to Ethan in the produce department or whoever the person's name is. I know even no, else the podcast. They're like, I talked to them. They said they had apple boxes. They had this many. They were putting them on the cart with my name on them. The service desk person looked her square in the face, said, no, we don't have any. So they're like, wow. Call back to produce, and produce is like, no, we don't save cardboard boxes.
Amazing.
Like in an hour, the script was flipped because cardboard boxes are the creature of the future, and they were saving them for themselves.
Well, that's what happens when you send Cindy to do a Mike's job.
Right. I should have just kicked the doors down.
Right.
I used to run that department.
Yeah.
Cardboard boxes.
We still got this power trip to do. We got a little mini one in there. Got a little hot about the cardboard.
No.
There's a story.
Now I have them all. I'm a physical cardboard box collector now. not a digital cardboard box collector.
Okay. Power trip. Count me down.
Three, two, one, go.
Okay. Just cause you're a gamer doesn't mean that you have to like ignore like everything. You can't be like, just stick to games. So there's all sorts of things happening in the world right now. All the events happening in Palestine, the Black Lives Matter thing, police brutality, all that stuff. You don't have to ignore that. You know, Twitch streamers are all raising money for that, whatever like that. You know, if gaming is your platform, use your platform to talk about the shit that you know. Be aware of your surroundings. You know, be active. Do something. Fucking do something. Gamers rise up.
Perfect.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Do it! Just do it!
Was that? Did I go the whole time? I didn't even pay attention.
I actually gave you 2 extra seconds because I knew you were going to say Gamers Rise Up at the end.
You were going to say Gamers? Yeah. That's kind of a... it's a joke, but nah, fucking seriously, do something, people. I'm fucking tired. So fucking tired of only dealing with fucking gamers all the time who don't know shit about anything and just like, oh, that sounds terrible. I don't know. I'm gonna go to GameStop. I don't know what gamers do.
Yeah,
I don't actually talk to that many gamers. I talk to like 5 gamers and then everyone else gets muted.
Do you consider yourself a gamer? Do you think that we're gamers?
Well, we have a fucking podcast. I don't think we get to not call ourselves gamers. That's like the most gamer thing you can do. Like, aside from shooting up your school, there's not much other gamer shit you can do.
Well, but we don't like once I shut, so I'm going to shut this podcast off tonight. I'm going to say bye to you, and we're going to message a couple more times. I'm probably not going to play video games tonight because now I don't on Sunday after we're done. Ooh. Because I'm so video gamed out with Sundays because it's my only day where I work like a half day. Like, I'm just not going to play games tonight. Unless I'm going to sit on my phone and like play poker or something like that, I'm just not going to touch a game for the rest of the
day. See, I got the Call of Duty crew already. I had to step aside from that. I don't know. I'm going to play games. I'm going to play games. I guess you could call me a gamer. I don't know. I tried to stay out of the fucking culture, but like I said, I have literally like, if you add it all together, probably almost a year of my life invested into fucking like MMOs and shit. So yeah, fine. I'm a fucking gamer. That's cool. But you know, you still gotta, that's why it bothers me, because I'm fucking so into that. Like, I don't have like, you know, family and shit like that. And the only coworkers I bother talking to are the ones that are going to play fucking video games with me. I got nothing else to say to them. So
makes sense.
Yeah, but
like you said, it's not gamers that's the problem. It's the fandom. It's just like Rick and Morty. The show Rick and Morty is not the problem. The show has some things that aren't perfect in it, but it's the fandom that's the problem. It's true with like everything though. Like once there's a fandom for something, once there's a culture based around a certain thing, it's the worst thing ever. Like it can't get any worse than people who like stuff. So if you like stuff, you're the worst.
See, now everybody likes to shit on fandoms, and I get it, because like I said, I've been part of it, I've been in it, I understand, I've seen how absolutely like toxic this shit can be, but that doesn't bother me as much as the I'm a gamer fucking thing. Like the fact that it's just like your identity is you play video games, and it's not even like, no, I play this specific video game. It's kind of my passion. I love this game. Or, you know, somebody who's like, I dedicated my life to get really good at this fucking game. Not those people. Those people have their own fucking toxic issues to deal with, and that's fine. I'm talking about the people that it's just like, they just have big opinions about video games all the fucking time, and it's not like fucking conducive to anything, and it has no like real bearing on the real world. The kind of fucking gamers that like get mad when a character is a woman because they force diversity into the fucking game and shit like that.
So everybody who didn't like The Last of Us 2.
that's a very divisive game for lots of reasons, and I have people on both sides of that one, gamers and non-gamers alike. But yes, like Last of Us 2. Last of Us 2 is the fucking line in the sand for so many people. That's a weird one. I've never even played it. I don't have strong opinions on it. I never even finished the first one. As good as it was, I just didn't have the time at the time, and I haven't gone back. But
we're in a weird subsect of the culture, because retro gaming can be either, there's, you know, the people who say, well, I'm a hardcore retro gamer, I don't play, you know, Fortnite and Call of Duty. And then there's the other side that's like, no, like us, where we're just in our mid-30s and like we just needed something to do. It's just something to take us away from other stuff. So.
Well, let me put some shit in perspective right now. Okay, Final Fantasy 14 is probably like, it's either the first or second biggest MMO, or maybe even third if you throw Genshin Impact in there, whatever. But Final Fantasy 14 is a big fucking deal. It is literally making Square Enix into a fucking like billion-dollar company. on its own. If they didn't release any other games, they'd be fucking making a killing on just that game. They just had their fan fest over the weekend, and the merch they are putting out is not fucking kid shit. They have a $500, two separate $500 Citizen EcoDrive watches that are fucking Final Fantasy 14 awesome. Themed. They have a Fender fucking Stratocaster Final Fantasy 14 themed. They have a fucking refrigerator fucking coming out that's Final Fantasy 14 themed. Who's fucking buying that? That's a fucking kid. No, we are the gamer generation now. Like, older millennials, it's fucking us. They're selling to us. Like, they don't give a shit.
That's smart.
Like Gen Z is fucking, they're playing mobile games and stuff. That they're on that shit. I mean, yeah, there's plenty of them that play like the regular games too, but like, they're driving the market in a totally different way. This is like the fucking swan song of the big, like, you know, home console PC video game thing. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised in a few years if you see just a big, you know, drop off of that shit. I mean, look at some of the experiments they've tried so far. They were talking about making Diablo, a new Diablo game, strictly mobile and things like that. And like, obviously people of our generation like lost their goddamn minds and was threatening to like burn down Blizzard headquarters. But fuck it. You know, I'm trying to embrace it. I mean, the biggest problem is inputs and shit like that. And, you know, with VR and motion and stuff like that, we're getting to a point where, you know, augmented reality shit and stuff like that, you're not going to need, you know, to sit down in front of a TV with a controller. I mean, that's what Nintendo figured out a long time ago with the Wii and all their mobile shit. They're like, people are willing to play games like on the go, or not literally, you know, sitting in front of like a $2,000 TV with a $5,000 gaming rig and shit like that. Yeah. As long as it's fun, people are willing to play it in other ways. So
yeah, the Switch has been killing it for like 4 straight years now, and it's right? The least powerful of the generation, but people don't give a fuck.
Right? And the Wii, everyone's like, oh, the Wii's gonna fucking tank like hell, but nah, the Wii fucking blew out that generation too. The Wii U tried to do something different where they tried to go bigger and more fancy with the hardware thing, and that, you know, it proved them wrong. Like, they're like, no, people don't want that. People want, you know, keep it simple.
Yep, the Wii U was just it was a great system and I love it, but it was an unneeded step between the Wii and the Switch. Like, they did the half step, the half note, and they didn't market it correctly. And but now the Switch is capitalizing on that, because they're just re-releasing every fucking Wii U game on the Switch, and everyone's like, oh, this game's awesome. Like, yeah, I know. We played it 5 years ago. It's still good. We got it.
I mean, the Switch is the Wii U. The Switch is the Wii U. It's just they made the console into the fucking controller, so you don't have to have the, you know, the brick sitting on by your TV. But for all intents and purposes, it's the same damn thing. If they could find a way to make it so you could use the Switch screen while using the TV at the same time, there'd be no difference. It's the same goddamn thing. So it was a tech experiment that maybe failed in its execution, but it was proof of concept that people are willing to adopt that kind of shit. So, but yeah, like I said, and you know who bought the Wii's? It was older people, like not even our old, like fucking our parents' age people really drove Wii sales.
Even past that. I mean,
yeah.
One of the biggest reasons. So right now, I don't know how closely you watch game prices other than the things that but Wii Sports, just the regular Wii Sports that comes with the Wii, is pushing $25, $30 now for a loose disc of Wii Sports. And it's because copies are getting all messed up and, you know, scratched and unreadable. But places like retirement homes only use Wii Sports, so they need copies of Wii Sports to go along with their Wiis. And there's a lot of retirement homes, even in our area right here, who have 3, 4, 5 Wiis. And if they can't play, if they don't use Wii Sports, that system is inoperable to them. So even like my buddies who run the retro stores around here can't keep Wii Sports in stock. They can sell more Wii Sports than they can the physical systems, even if they bundle them together.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I see coming, what I see from this is that this is I had my doubts about VR. I didn't think VR was really ever going to make its big splash in the home console market. And it is kind of in the hardcore section, like it is kind of doing that, but honestly, I think we're going to see a lot more of this augmented reality type stuff once they finally make like peripherals that are you know, functional and affordable. I think that's going to be the future. It's hard to see it not being that when you see, you know, these little experiments from time to time go on that really are wildly successful in a very limited scope that you'd think eventually you're going to see the mainstream adopt it. And the games that I love are going to be a thing of the past. I mean, even like a big story driven RPGs, we've seen a lot of rise of like games like Evil Within or like all the Telltale Walking Dead games and where it's more of a cinematic experience than it is a gameplay experience. So like that type of thing is going to kind of, I think, eventually supplant both like the traditional RPG and you know, it could even be the move forward into like movies and things like that too. Like that could be where cinema starts to go. 'Cause I mean they had the Netflix Black Mirror episode where you kind of pick your path type thing. And there are like full-fledged games that are essentially that right now. And as graphics get better, I mean could you imagine doing like one of those games in like a VR setting and stuff like that? That'd be pretty goddamn intense, to be honest.
Agree.
So
Really
I'm
going off the rails here, buddy. You really
yeah. I'm
got some intense shit. You haven't been able to talk for 2 weeks and you got it all out.
well, you know, I didn't I wasn't even thinking about it, but then I started thinking about it and this is kind of off the cuff because I don't really talk about it. I have talked about it in the past. I don't think I've talked about it on here, but I've talked about it with people before, is that it doesn't matter how powerful your system is. It doesn't matter what features it has or what it can fucking do. The only thing that is going to like make or break a video game console is the inputs, the control, how the user interacts with the games. And if you can't fucking handle that, if you can't do that, if you can't capture that, then you're not going to be successful. And that's honestly what is being proven correct through how the industry is starting to move. So the technology is there. It's just a matter of making it accessible and affordable. But we get to use this fucking weird pitchfork of a goddamn controller on Nintendo 64 games, which is just an absolute treat.
Yes. It's fun. So I had some other stuff, but I mean,
Yeah,
now
go.
this is so much, no, this is so much more fun where we ended up. But
Yeah.
had this whole bit for this show where I was gonna, like, instead of doing Mega Man, I was gonna do Magna Man instead because my kid mispronounced it, and Magna Man sounds way more fun to me. Because obviously he's in the basement, pulling one out to a 3D platformer, but I'm skipping all that now because
right.
fuck it, that's why you guys come up with your own
Yeah.
Magna Man. But like what you said about like the refrigerator and the Fender Strat and all that stuff, like that's cool. Like that's cool that they're catering to our generation, but when they target people like us with things like that, it makes it seem like everybody has like that stuff's gonna sell out because it will. And that's
Oh
the
yeah.
way that
It's
I'm
already
probably
like
near.
he Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean it and that's great for them, and it's great for whoever the collector was that got it. But like that makes it seem like everybody who plays games from our generation has that kind of money. We like I didn't go and just buy every Nintendo 64 game. Like I didn't just go out and like all right, I got like $6,000 and here's all my money and like and just buy like we to get to this point to do this podcast, we like scratched and clawed for like 3 years to scoop up correct copies of games and functioning copies of games and the cheapest, because I am cheap as hell. That's why we have a separate category. I'm gonna find the cheapest way to play something. And like, so it took forever to get to this point. So then when they, you know, market something like, you know, a $9,000 refrigerator with an emblem on the side, like, I think it's cool, but I'm not buying it. Like, not unless
you're going to find
a scratch and dent sale and I can get one for like $2,500 or something like that. I'm just not doing it. But I just like, I hate the like stigma. So I'm in a lot of like online groups where they, you know, we buy and sell high end games, and anything over $100 is high end, and that's just the way it is. And it may, everybody's like, I want to show my collection, and they show you like $15,000 in games, and it's, oh, you know, oh my God. But like, people don't like, I hate people who flex that they have more money and are into collecting, because there's so many people who just want to play, which is the people that we're like gearing this thing towards.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you want to buy all the games, just play the motherfucker. We're playing all, like, we're 98 next week, and I guarantee that not a single copy of NHL Breakaway 98 is going to sell in any Facebook group this week. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, it's, and it's because of what the games are worth. It's not how good they are. It's not like Mega Man, copies of this game, hundreds of them will sell this week. And it has nothing to do with how good the game is. It's because it's a Mega Man game and it's worth some money. So somebody's got to make some money somewhere. And, you know, you got to push those margins and do that shit and make that money. And it, like, it, I like to make
things,
but I also just like, I just want to play shit and I want to enjoy it. And I want it to be cheap when I do it. And that's, now those things are not always like, like, they're not always side by side. They're not, I can't always have all three.
No, I totally get what you're saying. And like, capitalism's a motherfucker. And it's unfortunate that things cost money the way they do. You know, Nintendo is not exactly an innocent company when it comes to just, you know, reselling this shit over and over again. Like, Xbox and Sony and Microsoft have been, you know, kind of forced by the fans to give us access to our already purchased shit.
Yeah.
From like older shit, but Nintendo does not give a fuck. They do not care. They do not care how many games you bought on Wii. You aren't getting them on your Switch. You rebuy them. And that's just what's going to happen.
It's under the guise of innovation. See, where Xbox, like, every Xbox has looked the same for the last four generations. So you know that CD is going to go on another system and maybe it's going to play, but it should play because I bought an Xbox. Whereas, like, how are you going to take a Wii game and jam it into your Switch? Like, Nintendo's like, no, innovation. Like,
it's all fucking emulated. I'm talking about digital. Like, they're making you rebuy digital shit. Like, that's the crazy part. Like, I have Chrono Cross purchased on or Chrono Trigger. Which one's? I forgot which one I got. Anyway, I bought one of them on Wii, and yeah, it's gone forever because I can't get it. I can't re-download it on my Switch, even though that's available to buy on Switch. I can't re-download it on my fucking Wii because the Wii's not active anymore. So yeah, I spent money on a digital game that I lost forever. So that's part of it.
But that's not just Nintendo too. That's what everybody's freaking out about, PS3 closing its store. And, you know, like, all the there's other companies doing that.
But that's the thing. Like, gamers have forced, like, Microsoft and forced Sony to let us I re-download all the movies that I bought on my Xbox 360 on the next generation every time. They weren't going to let you do that, but they eventually had to because, you know, the consumers were like, you better fucking let us because we spent like, you know, however many hundreds of dollars buying this shit and give it to us. But, you know, digital is just such a unfairly operated market because of rights and copyrights and shit like that, that it's frustrating. So yeah, you're forced to buy, first to hunt down these physical copies and to see, you know, private sellers, you know, hoarding shit or buying things and driving prices up just to do that. I mean, I've been in dabbling in like crypto shit, and it's the same goddamn thing. This, like, all these fucking dumb coins aren't worth anything. They're not going to do anything. Eventually in like 10 years, they're not going to even exist. But because there are people out there right now that are just hoarding shit and trying to make shit happen, I'm making fucking money. So, you know, I'm buying it. But that's something with like huge supply. And this is talking about like a physical commodity that you know, people are just sitting on. And this shit doesn't belong in a museum. Just play these games. There's enough people out there like preserving this stuff digitally that I don't know. I just think that these games should be played. Like you mentioned before, sending things off to get graded. Or did we talk about that before? Was that before? Did we talk about it? It was in the episode. Yeah, the grading thing is a joke because, come on, who's buying that?
I get it for things like comic books, like
oh sure,
because the pages are great. Even get it like for older games with cardboard boxes. So like original Nintendo games still sealed up with the cardboard and the plastic around them. That's cool that somebody's sure. gonna like pay the $100 to grade it to keep it in. But that's what grading originally was an was because you're paying for the encapsulation, you weren't paying for the grade. But now mm-hmm. people are using that grade to hike up. I mean, because like a graded game goes from like a $500 sealed game to like a $3,000 graded game based on the grade. Even if it's a poor grade, mm-hmm. it goes up to that much money, and that's stupidity. It's just mm-hmm. plain fucking dumb. And that is where I hit my breaking point with physical versus digital. Like I am usually physical until somebody shows me something like that. And then I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to buy every fucking game. And now I've hit an additional breaking point because sometime in this month, we're going to move. And my wife and I have packed up, you know, 60 to 90 boxes of physical video games over the course of the last 2 weeks. And at first it was funny to me and I liked it. And it's like, ha ha ha, look all these video games. And then you're finding shit you didn't even know you had. And it all weighs, like it weighs... It has mass. It weighs pounds or kilograms or whatever. And I have to physically move all of it. And it has to be packed correctly because we're moving it in a large shipping container. And I can't have stuff break. And I wouldn't have that problem with digital, but I'm so fucking stubborn that like I just won't do it that way. And now this will probably be the first generation because this is the last I – Hear me now, Elvin Jarvanpaw. This is the last time I am moving these games. These games are not leaving this house that we just purchased with me. Either I'm selling them, or the kids are taking
them. Never moving.
But they're not all coming with me. This is the last time I pack all these games up. Like, because it's cool right now because the kids like to play games. Like, my one kid really likes Rampage. The other kid really likes Transformers right now. And my oldest is like teenager stuff. So she likes Fortnite and she likes Minecraft and she likes all the shit that everybody else likes. And that's cool for all of them. And they can enjoy the games as I play them. But when they grow up, it's not waiting for them. Either they're coming and getting it or it's gone. Like, I can't move this all again. I can't do it, man. Like I can't.
For what it's worth, you bought lots of games to get a couple for the collection just because it made sense. And the flip side is you're supposed to flip that stuff, and you didn't. Yep. You accumulated that stuff.
I did, and I actually okay. So as far as N64 games, I have a really tight control over N64. It's literally everything else that I have a problem with, especially CD-based games, because you can't remember, like, do I have a copy that has a manual inside of it? Like, do I have a loose or
I'm on my, like,
price-starting collection tracker? But I'm also not very good at keeping that up to date. So, like, it doesn't matter what information I have. It doesn't ever feel complete to me. Yeah. But as far as, like, loose cartridges, I'm really, like, so I took, when I bought all those lots of N64 games, I would then split them up into some games, and I sold them really cheap locally. Like, it was like, all right, it didn't matter what games are. It's like four games for $20 for N64. People are like, well, can I mix them? No, it's these four games for $20, and you're not going to get a cheaper fucking deal. And then I started putting memory cards with them, like, because now it's four games in a memory card for $20. Mm. And then I just kept selling them that way. So a lot of people got cheap games around here because I didn't want to capitalize on what I was doing. I just wanted to make my money back and get the games that I wanted out of the lots. And if I had done that with every video game I've ever owned, I wouldn't have had to move more than like 20 boxes. But instead, here we are, motherfucker.
I can tell you the exact moment. I know the exact moment where I stopped giving a shit about collecting games. And it was, I had just bought my Xbox 360. I had just bought my, that big tube, uh, that high definition 720p tube TV that your brother has.
One. Yep, still has it.
I just bought that. I had it sitting because I didn't have a thing for it, and a shelf or nothing. I had it sitting on kind of like a stool, and the stool was padded, and it was sitting on that stool, and all my like steel case games and stuff like that that I had purchased were sitting underneath it, and the TV tipped, and it fell forward, and it crushed every steel case game that I had, every one of them, just crushed them. And I picked it up, I looked at it, and I said, I am no longer a video game collector. Be like, I am not doing this anymore. I'm not replacing a single one of these. This is just what it is. So that was my end point of collections. After that, I'm like, yep, new system, trading it in. Train it all in. Send her. Fucking take it. Which I do regret on a couple of things because, man, there are some games that I had that would have been worth some fucking money. But
Dude, Gacha Force kills me. Like,
I just want Gacha Force to play because Gacha Force is fun.
Gacha Force, no, because it's like a $700 game.
Fucking dumb as shit.
Oh, that's Christ. Crazy. And we played that game so much too. And I held on to mine and then I sold them when they were in like the 150 range. And I thought I was such a smart motherfucker when I did that. And like, look at me now.
It was like
hold.
80.
Hold.
It was $80 when I sold mine and I traded it into fucking GameStop for whatever they fucking gave me or Game Crazy. Because I didn't give a shit. I don't give a shit. I'm trying to remember the last game I sold that was like a lot, and it was literally me selling you Ogre Battle for Super Nintendo.
Yeah, and I gave you what it was worth because that's how friends do things.
Yep.
And I still have it because what did I say I was going to do with it? put it in a fucking tote and never let the world see it again. And that's where it is.
You should grade it. Tote.
I'm not going to grade it. I'm Mike Fink grading things. Grading for me is putting in the box so somebody else can't grade it. I'm protecting, I am making games physically playable by protecting them from the market.
Oh.
And I know you hate physical games, but man, wait till all of these games have their new place in a new house and you can just come over and like pull one off the shelf and play it instead of us like rummaging around for an hour trying to find a controller or a TV to make the N64 work.
Oh man, I'm just lazy. I just don't want to switch games, period.
Maybe I'll get a robot friend to do it for us.
Maybe. Like a Roomba? We'll
yeah. Video game Roomba, what is my purpose? To get Mass Effect 2 off the shelf. Kill me now.
No, I have a... I just bought the Deluxe Collector's Edition.
I saw Fantastic. That. You said you weren't going to regret that purchase, and I believe you.
Yep. Good stuff.
I haven't regretted any video game purchases I've made in the last 3 weeks because they were all Pokemon Snap, and that's it.
Well, you bought a lot of Pokemon Snap, then.
Nope, just one. Only game.
Well, I don't know. We talked a lot about video games. Want to stop talking about video games?
That's a new thing for us. Usually we get away from video games. It was all video games today.
It was all games. We had a lot to talk about games.
All right, man.
That's just but so yeah, I didn't done. Have to... I didn't have to yell at everybody about Palestine, so.
Well, you can still. Do you want to do that for 15 seconds? Mini power trip?
No, I got my power trip in. I'm just telling you to fucking, you know, read a book, motherfuckers.
Yeah. But we don't. No, that's what we tell people not to do. We don't fuck books.
I'm changing it up. Read a book.
All right, fine.
Hands on a wall. Hands on the floor, hands in the air.
Like you just don't care.
Kebish, 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 we're dreaming hard. Freeze!
Kebish, 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 we're dreaming. كل مطلوب من هني أمه بواجباتهم. بعد يوم أهلي حضروا سوادي ويرتبوا كماماتهم. صرقي علمت عليه نو سقط صب.
اليوم صغار أكتفهم كراريس بكرة كبار أكتفهم صواريخ بعتنا طيار يحطهم بالتاريخ خضعنا نفسهم بالنار وبالترهيب. ما هو لازم نخوفكم كالمغول عشان الحق المسلوب يضل مسلوب مفهوم. إذا لا بنعيد العملية كله باسم الإرادة الأمر.